City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to this Mandan edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, August 2nd. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, along with Mandan City Administrator Jim Newbar.
Morning, Mary. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. Thank you.
Yes, and a nice little rainy morning we're having so far, anyway.
Yeah, I know it's nice to drive over here in the windshield. You have to actually turn the volume up on the windshield so that you can see where you're going. We haven't had that for quite a while.
A little relief.
Yep, very little. I mean, any rain is good, but a nice kind of slow soaker that we've been having this morning is very much appreciated.
Yep, very, very welcome. We had a Mandan City Commission meeting last night. There were a number of items we wanted to kind of explore. A couple of them were on the consent agenda.
Right.
And starting with mill and overlay issues that were going on with Sunset Drive and McKenzie Drive. Yep. Was that it?
Well, we've got a couple street projects we probably want to talk about this morning. The Sunset Drive, and also there's the west entrance into Walmart on Old Red Trail have been kind of problem areas for a couple years with some water in the ground and things like that. So we've been able to change order a mill and overlay project onto an existing project so that contractor can come in this year yet and do a mill and overlay on Sunset to help even out some of those bumps that people are realizing on Sunset and also in front of Walmart where we've had, again, some groundwater issues and some poor sub-base that we're going to do a little more than mill and overlay there, but we'll get those fixed up.
So these projects are already under construction. There's activity going on over there already, right?
We just approved the change orders to an existing contract last night. So within the next few weeks, I'm sure that those projects will be underway.
But will there be detours, or is that necessary?
I don't think there are going to be detours. There will be some, there might be some delays in traffic and narrower lanes and things like that. And folks, we want to make them aware when those projects start. We'll issue a public notice and say, hey, just be aware that there's some projects going on in this area, so people can avoid them for
a little.
And they won't take long. Yeah, we've got
patient.
Right. We've got projects going right now on McKenzie Drive by Raging Rivers Water Park.
Okay.
And which that exit is completely shut down going to the west while they reconstruct that. So the detour is up to Memorial Bridge. And so folks have noticed a little delay or a little roundabout going on there. And we've also got on Old Red Trail, which is between Collins Avenue and right around the new Starry and Sports Complex, and also where Tesoro, which their new name is Endeavor, is building a new administrative building on Old Red Trail. So we're doing some lane widening and some turning lanes so that we'll accommodate both of those new buildings that are going up really quick. There's also out on 10th Avenue Southwest, out by the old Mandan Municipal Golf Course and Highway 6, we've got narrow lanes out there because a contractor is doing some concrete repairs and also additional work on the handicap accessible ramps onto the sidewalks in that area. So lanes are pretty narrow in that area,
too.
Well,
it's road construction season.
It is in North Dakota where they say there's winter and then there's road construction season. So we're hot and heavy into that right now.
And another item that was on your agenda last night also has to do with roads, and that's in the Mandan Industrial Park.
Yes.
So you went to a rebid of improvements there.
Right. I think back in 2014, we had planned on doing a street maintenance project in the industrial park in the northwest part of Mandan. At that point in time, we sometimes have to go back in our memory and figure out bids were really high. We were in the height of the Bakken boom then, and contractors were tough to find.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the bids came in more than, there's a state law that says if the bids come in more than 40% over what your engineer's estimate is, you can't award the bid.
Oh.
And so we had to pull that project back. And like I said, we're bringing it back now because we had another project in that area, which was the reconstruction of Old Red Trail, the next extension going to the west. So that project we needed to get done. And then now we're back into the industrial park. So our contract is with Wenk Engineers. We're anticipating they will be holding a public input meeting. We'll invite those business owners and property owners in the industrial park in to talk about the project again and see if there's some changes that we need to make from a couple of years ago when we bid it.
Mm-hmm.
Get their input. If we have to redo some documents, we can certainly, when we go to rebid, which will probably be this fall in October, November. We're hoping that that's a favorable time to be bidding street projects for spring of 2018 construction.
Mm-hmm. We have up on the screen right now is a map of the Mandan Industrial Park. For our radio listeners, just to describe where we're at, this park is, and Jim, you're probably a little bit better at this, in north of the interstate, just north.
North of the interstate, if you go past Seven Seas or the Bay Mount, and you go past NISC, kind of where Cloverdale, Twin City Roofing, some other Pepsi, other businesses are up there. The roads along there have been probably the original asphalt that went in the 70s, I believe.
I was going to ask, how long has this industrial park been up there? It's been quite a while.
Yeah, I think probably the mid to early, in the 1970s.
And probably the most visible industrial park we have in this whole area, really. I mean, we've been aware of it. We see it. And it also is home to quite a few big businesses. Some very significant corporate presence in our community. Yeah. You mentioned
probably
Cloverdale.
Probably the biggest one is Cloverdale up there, and there's a lot of truck traffic going in and out. And what we're looking at doing is potentially concreting the streets up there so we get a longer life. We will probably bid it both ways, concrete or asphalt. And like I said, concrete will last a lot longer, but the upfront cost is a little more. Yeah. And that's part of the public meeting that we will have with the folks in this area to say, you know, when we go to rebid, we want your opinion on whether it should be concrete or whether we should go with another asphalt street up there.
Were they originally concrete?
Originally asphalt.
Originally asphalt?
Yep.
Okay.
So, again, the heavy trucks and things like that do cause your asphalt streets to wear out a little quicker.
Other tenants up in that industrial park area, NISC?
NISC, actually, they are directly on Old Red Trail, so they would be not quite as far as this project, but you've got, I know that Twin City Roofing, there's a striping company,
Man
and Earl Fire, and Morton County Shop is out there.
Right, a lot of employees at NISC. So there's quite a considerable amount of traffic up in that area, Old Red Trail into the industrial park.
Yep, and that's part of the reasons we've got Red Trail Elementary School that was built a few years ago up in this area. Most of that traffic does not come through the industrial park, but you've also got Developers West, and there, like I said, there's several really quality businesses up there.
So what is the timeline, Jim, for this? When do you expect this will be, this process could get to a bid point?
Yep, since the contract was just approved with Wink last night, August 1st, my guess is we will have a public meeting with the property owners of this area probably in September. And then we'll probably bid in October or November this year.
To pay for it, are we looking at primarily special assessments?
We are looking at special assessment district.
Okay.
You know, again, it is an industrial park. It's kind of like a residential neighborhood where the users of this industrial park are really those folks who are owning property in that park.
Sure.
And therefore, there's no main arterial roads going through where we can get federal assistance to help out with the cost. Like Old Red Trail would be considered one of those collector or arterial roads where we can apply for federal and state money to help offset some of that cost. This would be borne through a special assessment.
And that makes sense, obviously, but it really is critical that the property owners buy into this, literally, and that they're a part of the process and that they have a voice from the beginning, and that obviously will happen through the public meetings.
Last time we had this project up, I think we had, a couple different meetings with the property owners up there that we actually send them each a letter and invite them in. So it's not, you know, a notice in the public, in the newspaper that gets lost. We send them a letter to the property owners and say, here's when we're meeting. Would love to have you come in. Let's talk about the project, get your input. Mm-hmm. And we think that's a pretty good way to do things is to ask those who are in that park right now, what are you looking for? What do you need? What do you anticipate your future needs are? Because you're, like I said, you're not only building the street for today, you're building it for the next 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll keep our eye on that one and see how
good
that
project
moves
to move
around.
Forward.
Yeah,
with.
It would be nice to see done because, like you say, those roads are likely the most were original to the whole industrial park.
Streets in that area causing Public Works a lot of street maintenance, extra time and extra work in there. Oh. And also, like I said, there's just a lot of stormwater issues up there, too, that we got to get the water to the right place.
Sounds good. An item on the agenda last night returned, and that was the development of West Main.
Yes.
The old, I want to say the old Bill Super Value, the old Cash-Wise, as some people look at it.
One of the original Thrifty White building was Bill SuperValue. And then when Bill's built the new Bill SuperValue, then it went to Central Market, or I think there was a,
there's another
stop
transition.
In between. Yeah. And I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. But the city entered into a purchase agreement for those two properties in June of this year. We closed on the property July 20th. And now in our West End development back in December of 2016, we had contracted with Icon to do some redevelopment plans for this area because we knew that it's going to need some help with ideas. And we've been trying to get a grocery store interested in the Central Market building for 4 or 5 years
now. It's
been
sitting vacant for quite some time.
So we knew that was the community's top priority was get us another grocery store, which we've been working very hard to do, but just have been coming up with finding the interest. You know, in the lowering of oil prices has had an effect on that process too, because there are some, we have some interested parties in doing a grocery store, but they had already built in Dickinson and Williston and Minot and maybe Stanley or another community.
And now
taking a step back. And like I said, so primary focus has been grocery, but now we might be looking at some other things.
And you spoke about this when you were here with Jason Timonic. When the two of you were here, that initially came up on your city commission agenda had the night before. So we've seen a little bit of that and what the vision might be.
Right.
But last night, the action of the commission was to move it to the next step and have Icon Architectural Group.
Icon is the group that we contracted with in December, and they had brought some schematics and had been involved in some public meetings on what we might want to see there.
Just some preliminary meetings,
preliminary
right?
stuff. We got some really cool drawings and really, if you want to call them swanky plans on potentially moving the library over into the old Central Market building, doing a also, they're calling it the Rail Yard District.
And we have that up on the screen right now, those renderings, those ideas. And again, I think that the message that's important here is that these are just concepts right now.
Correct.
These are important in the fact that I think they give people an idea and give some get some excitement behind what could be.
Yep.
You and I had talked about this earlier, and I was a little confused by these drawings and that where do they sit? Mm-hmm. And we're looking right now at a building that it's called the Rail Yard on it. And it's basically a single story, but very high walled, pitch roof, long linear building with garage doors and multiple entrances. And it's very cool. And what I had asked you earlier was where does this sit? And this sits up to Main Avenue. So this would be if this comes into being, it would sit right next to Main Avenue in basically the parking lot where it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's hard to sometimes imagine because you look over the top of that Rail Yard building in the back thinking that is the Central Market building.
Yeah.
And as it sits today.
Exactly.
But we're trying to have some vision and look forward. So the Rail Yard building could potentially go right along Main Street. And then the intent would be to kind of mirror up with the current Freight House and the current Morton Mann and
exactly.
Public Library.
Exactly. It links up with the Main Street as it goes back to the east.
Right.
As Main Streets were developed and downtowns are developed, we didn't put parking lots in the front. It comes right up to the sidewalk, which is really makes it much more attractive and keeps that rhythm of the street so much nicer and comfortable. So then behind this building would be the existing old grocery store structure that would be modified into a multiple tenant kind of
the concept
scenario.
That is shown here. And for those of you that can't see right now, because you might be listening to it on the radio, the old Central Market building, if you look at the middle of that building and you kind of take a bite out of the central part of that, and then you open that up into a little more green space and an open area. And then you go back into kind of the middle of the Central Market building and you start, that could potentially be your new library.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the wings, which would be on both your right and left side of that entrance, and you create potentially up to 6 different retail spaces, whether it, you could do a coffee shop, a sandwich shop or whatever, so that your library is generating traffic. And these retail spaces are generating traffic, and you have some more open and green space, and you've got a great entrance to what could become the library.
And some parking between the two structures.
Correct.
Again, these are just concepts, but it's hard not to get excited because it's just, it's pretty, it's attractive. It looks like it would, I mean, if you imagined all of these occupied spaces,
yep.
I mean, the amount of traffic that would generate down to that end of Main would be incredible.
Yep.
And it's really a nice complement to the park and the railroad yard, and it's certainly a nod to the heritage of Mandan. I think that's really nice that you all keep thinking of, well, we were built by the railroad. I mean, this town was built by the railroad, and to ignore that presence, I think it would not be a good thing. So that's really nice.
Northern Pacific, Burlington Northern, and now BNSF, they've been a huge part of downtown Mandan and a huge part of the community for many years. And I think the Rail Yard District, if you want to call it that, if that's what it gets dubbed, is obviously in reference because, you know, people either like to look at the trains or they don't like to look at the trains or they like to hear the trains or they, you know, we're no different than a lot of communities that have the Rail Yard or a roundhouse back in the day, is that they're running right down Main Street.
Yeah.
And because the goods that were sometimes brought in by the rail cars were delivered to those businesses on Main Street. And like I said, this concept that we have here pays homage to that.
Cool.
And like I said, they are concepts, but when you're trying to entice developers to come in and look, you have to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
And the initial conversations that both ICON and we have had with parties that are interested have been extremely favorable to
say,
you know, if you do this project, we will come in with another project, or we will do that project for you, or, you know, all kinds of things that the vision has already been kind of created.
Right. And I think that another thing about that rail yard building is the way it's set up is so flexible. That space could be used in a lot of different ways.
Yep.
Farmers markets, wedding dances, concerts, whatever.
Looking
might,
at some real
happen.
You know, on both sides, on the north side and south side of this building, we'd look at putting some of the, you know, where you couldn't do those before. Now, you know, technology and building materials are different, that you can create garage doors and you can open them up and you know, get a breeze going through the
and
building.
And let's face it, we have to protect ourselves from the elements around here, whether it's summer or winter.
Yep.
I mean, it just makes it really flexible space. And, you know, you've traveled and other people travel around the country. You see these kinds of structures. In fact, just last year in Boston, it was going through a similar structure right in their downtown historic district. It's just full of people and food and you know, different things that you could purchase. It was retail. It was restaurants. It was just fun. There was entertainment going on. Same thing in San Francisco. It's down in the market area down there. It was very similar structure, low.
Almost like a farmer's market on steroids.
Open. Yeah, absolutely.
You
really get
a lot of people to... And it seems like the younger generation, which they're more going towards those homegrown items.
Oh, absolutely.
And so farmers markets are big. Open air markets are big.
Yeah.
And we think this would provide a great opportunity for, you know, you can set up inside or outside.
Right, exactly.
And whether, you know, if you want to do a wedding or a conference in there, you can do that. And the space would be flexible. Again,
but
all concepts. And, you know,
the work starts.
Now the work starts. You know, nothing comes for free.
And therefore. Exactly. And I'm guessing that your goal is to find that private developer or developers who would investors that could come forward, be excited by the vision and come to the table and start talking.
Right.
I mean, obviously paying for it is the challenge. But
paying for it's the challenge.
You know, you really have to commend the city commission too for taking this step. I mean, it's a big step.
Yep.
And a lot of, you know, it seems like a lot of times in our community, these kinds of ideas get shot down really quickly. There's a lot of naysayers out there, Jim, as you know. And I think that it's a start. And you make it all very public. Have these meetings where people can come in and give their ideas, and you can only wish for the best. But, you know, I think it's really commendable that of them to move this forward.
Timing of this is all. Yeah, it is a. It was not an easy decision for the commission. It's not one that was taken lightly. A lot of thought went into it. It wasn't just, hey, let's go buy some buildings, because, you know. Generally, government doesn't need to be in the real estate business. In this case, the property had remained in that position for a long time, and we thought if we could come in and help spur some of that development with the plans that ICON has put together. It's interesting, we've got several studies going on the west end of Mandan between traffic flows and pedestrian walking and things like that.
They'll
and
all come of this together, though,
is coming together. And
yeah.
like I said, that gave a little more comfort to the commission discussions with developers on if you do this, we would be willing to come in with that. You know, all those need to be ironed out and worked out, which is now the challenge in front of all of us.
So ICON will be driving this along with your office.
Yep. Our contract with them starts, you know, yesterday. As soon as we sign the contract, and we'll run through, I think, the end of May of 2018.
Well, let us know when those meetings are happening, and the public input meetings will certainly help publicize that information, and hopefully this will move forward in a productive way.
Well, it's a big step forward for Mandan.
Yeah, we can see some things happening.
Looking to get some more life down in the west end of town.
Yeah, and somewhat related to this, and it's all about making Mandan a more friendly place to not only to visit, but to live as well. And that's your wayfinding sign project. I think as last night you approved the second phase of signs that are going to be implemented in Mandan.
Yep. Part of our, I think, Leadership Pride and Image Committee that was formed out of the Mandan Tomorrow back in 2009, I believe. It's still one of the committees that is actively engaged. And this is a project that was brought forward both by them and our community beautification committee is wayfinding. And most of us who are from Mandan, it's like, why do we
need to find my way?
We know where we're going. but we've been kind of absolutely shocked and amazed at the number of people that have commented on, wow, I didn't know this was here, or I didn't know this was there, that are residents of Mandan.
Yes.
And also to help folks direct them on where things are in town.
Right. So, and last night, Ellen Huber was presenting on this, and I think it was interesting to note, too, that she said it was a real education for her and the committee, because it's not as easy as it sounds. Let's just put up some signs with arrows. It isn't quite like that. There's a lot of regulations that go into this. So far, you've had how many signs? I think it was quite a...
So far, I think we have 15 to 17 signs up. Not sure of the exact number.
And the second phase now will
second
be...
Second phase would probably be a similar number.
Okay.
We went to the visitors committee, and there's money that we collect through our 2% lodging and food tax that can only be spent on items to attract visitors.
Seems like a really appropriate a use of that. And I was one of those people, I think, that commented early on when I saw them go up. I think they're very well done. Yeah. They seem to reflect the flavor of Mandan. Yeah. They look nice. They're attractive, well-maintained, but yet they have kind of a unique feel to them. And we talk about, I didn't really need you to tell me where to go. And that question came up last night. I think it was Dennis Rohr, Commissioner Rohr, asked that question about, do we really, what's the purpose? And it really, I think, and the answer to the question was, it's more than just finding our way.
Right.
It's a branding tool. It really gives a presence and an image to Mandan, and it keeps building on all of these things that you guys have been doing over the last few years, the Made in Mandan brand. And I think it all ties together and really makes a cohesive community, and it gives a nice image for the community.
Like I said,
there's
earlier,
value in that.
We were kind of amazed at the number of positive comments that we've received. And when you talk about the, it's been a learning experience for us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said, well, why do you need to spend that much money? Just go get a 4x4 post, dig a hole, put it in the ground, put a sign on it.
There's rules.
Oh, my goodness. From
many rules.
The color to the size of the letter to the
height.
Amount of things you can put on that to what you can put on that and
where you can put
and where you can put them because it's all North Dakota DOT right-of-way and Federal Highway right-of-way. And part of our contract with the folks that was approved last night to move forward takes us to phase two because Federal Highway came in. Because there's not too many communities that have these, and that's learning for them, too. They're going, we would like to see a master plan on what you're doing with these. So part of the cost of this is developing that master plan before they will then approve the next phase of wayfinding sign. So, yeah, it's been a really incredible thing, and
they'll start then right away? I mean, they got approval last night for phase two,
Approval to move forward with the contract. So we will first we need to get the master plan done and submitted to Federal Highway and Department of Transportation.
Okay.
They will then approve that master plan, and then we'll start the actual sign installation and bidding and construction and things
Sounds good. Well, once again, we're kind of running out of time. We have a list of things that we were going to talk about, so it's lightning round time, Jim. Also, a new brewing company went forward last night, West Main.
Dialectic Brewing Company.
Yeah,
it sounds like I've been there already. if you're familiar with the old Wickham's Jewelry, some folks may know it from where the Cactus used to be on Main Street. The Cactus has now come down, a new storefront improvement, and they're looking at a brewing company going in there.
Nice, and they've got some paperwork and some federal regs they're working through, so it looks like probably a March.
Probably March of 2018.
Well, that's great for that area, too.
Good thing.
And not totally unrelated is the medical marijuana issue with planning and zoning. And basically, last night, commissioners approved what planning and zoning has already identified.
In our code, we've got definitions of manufacturing operations and definitions of pharmacies and drugstores.
Okay.
And so last night, we had gotten the commission kind of said we agree with planner Bob Decker's interpretation that a dispensary, medical marijuana dispensary, would fall under the pharmacy rules and laws and things like that, and then the growing operation would fall under our manufacturing.
Okay.
So we've got zones set up for that.
Okay.
We'll probably come back in a month or two and more directly add those two operations into our code.
But it's just a kind of a preliminary step.
The application process for these folks needs to be done in August and September. And therefore, we've had inquiries on if we would buy this building or this is our location, does it meet the local zoning codes and things like that?
Right.
So we need people to say yes or no.
And we're waiting for the state of North Dakota to come down with more of their regulations, and then things will be more clearly defined, and then an application would have to come forward. So there's many steps.
Many steps to go through, and there are many steps and many rules. And the states, some people talk about, the drug score can just about go anywhere. Well, that's true, but the state has some rules on the dispensary. It has to be 1,000 feet from a residential area and things like that they're still working on. So I think we're pretty good.
Stay tuned on that
one.
And many steps. Speaking of many steps,
yes,
the budget process.
Yep.
Your budget is
first step taken last night with our first reading.
Yes. And what a great explanation on budget from Greg Welch. I mean, my goodness.
Greg did a fantastic job, as he always does. So.
And again, I think this is really a tribute to some of your staff. And Greg's been on board for, what did he say, almost 25 years or something like that?
About 25 years in. And
I mean, he knows this stuff. And the explanation last night, I mean, I was actually following.
Okay.
And so
that's good.
That's a good test.
Yep.
But he really stepped through everything. And I think that's a really, really great thing. Go back. It's on our video on demand. You can watch it.
Absolutely.
But bottom line, for property owners, we're looking at about a $61 increase for a $250,000 house. Is that kind of where it boiled down to?
Bottom line on property tax, $250,000 residential property go up about $61, and your utility bill will go up about $19, so about an $80 increase in total. City's done a really great job of lowering the number of mills that we levy when our valuations have gone up. But the past 2 years have been a real challenge with the state aid money that we receive from North Dakota.
Right.
And the highway tax distribution we receive from the state of North Dakota.
Yeah, that's
all changed. With the decline of oil revenues, that all goes down. We've had about $500,000 worth of snow removal costs that we have to pay for. And so that's part of
all
the increase, too.
Combined.
So it just adds up, and we got to bite the bullet sometime.
So the first step was last night, and there will be a public input process. When does that happen, Jim?
First step, the first reading was last night, and the process now is that we will, because the amount of tax that we're collecting is increasing, we need to issue a letter to all of the folks that got a letter in February, March, where their property values went up by $3,000 or 10%, and they'll get a letter informing them public hearing. Public hearing will be at 6 o'clock on September 18th or 19th, I believe.
Okay.
So all those will be publicly noticed.
Okay. Well, I'm getting the signal that we're really running out of time now, but all good information. Again, go on video on demand on freetv.org for government access.
Correct.
Under Mandan City Commission, you can watch the meeting from last night. Just a real quick mention, the other thing that came out, I believe, just yesterday was your business development community report.
Right.
Excellent summary of activities and highlights of the last couple of years in Mandan, incentive programs that are available, highlights, major employers, some significant steps forward, contact information, all of that
Ellen
stuff
puts this
is
out
in there.
Every year as an effort to inform the public on, sometimes our efforts really are directed towards expanding existing businesses. Mm-hmm. And along with the new businesses make a splash.
Sure.
So we encourage people to go to the website, download it, and take a look at it. And there's a lot of great things that are happening in town.
You can find it on your website?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, Jim, thank you. Sorry to rush the ending here. So.
Nope. We are under the 20-second rule or the 20-question rule. So
there we go.
Rapid
Thanks
fire.
For being here.
Thank you very
All
much.
All right. And thank you for joining us for this episode of Mandan City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.